I'd like to make a request. If I had to wear that string on my neck all week, I think I'd feel weird. So, can you get on some sticky ones tomorrow also? Yeah. If you don't want to wear this one, you can wear a sticky one, okay? But like, I meet 10,000 people a year, and I get really frustrated because it's hard for me to remember names, and I'd really appreciate it if you wore something, you know, because then I could learn your name and forget it the next week. No, I really want to try it. So. Okay, and I think other people would like to know your name. You know. Okay. All right, we're at 10. Yeah, good. Nice, Adam. Thank you. Here we go. Tena sokshin to yang cham jam yang na tajo ki gipe lama jo dum na tuki parki korwa dang. In the garden of collecting good karma, which is the lama lineage poster, which you had with Nick, a young, there's a cham. Cham here means, champa means Maitreya. Champa also means a cold, to have a cold, so be careful. Chamyang Manjushri. La Ta Chu Tawa means viewpoint, emptiness lineage. Chu means widespread activity. He just calls it view activity, right? But it means Samotawa Gyu in Gyachan Chupichigyu. Okay, it's an abbreviation. Ki Gyupe Lama, there are the lineage lamas. Jo Dumla Tuki Par. Down to Jo and Dromtenje, which he just calls Jodum. Okay. Parki Korwadan, they are circled by them. And Gumpawa La, and then there's a Kadampa Lama named Gumpawa. He is circled by a Lama named Nyusurpa and six other Lamas. Then Lamrimbe. Lama Tachu Nike Dundu. Lama Tachu Nike Dundu. They are in front of the two lineages of viewpoint and compassion. Dundu. Dzinta. You might be interested to learn the word Dzinta. Okay? Do you know what it means, Dzinta? It gets corrupted in colloquial to Dzinta, but it means class, to have a class. Okay? Dzinta. Dzinta Tsogyore. It's time for class. Dzin means to hold. Cha means a fence, okay? And so dzinta means an enclosure, a classroom or a class. What's the Tibetan, what's the colloquial word for a monk? Monk. Chava. Say chava. So it means one who is enclosed in the fence. Chava. Okay? And inside each major monastery, there are 3.5 major monasteries in the Dalai Lama's lineage. The three are, I mean, say the best one first. Sera, Drebung, and Ganden. And then sometimes we count Tashi Thumbo, which is the seat of the Panchen Lama. Scholastically, they're almost up to the top three. But so sometimes we say four. Major monasteries. The new Tashi Lhunpo is quite close to Sera in southern India. But those are called gombas, right? So Westerners, I don't know how it got started, but they call a temple a gomba. And I don't know how that got started. Tibetans don't say that. They say gomba. I don't know where the gomba came from. It's not in Tibetan, they don't use that. Gumba means a monastery, like Sera Gumba. And then there are, in the big three monasteries in the Dalai Lama's lineage, there are separate colleges called Tratsang. Okay? So Tra means Traba, monk. And Tsang means a nest, like especially an ant's nest. So Tratsang is a monk nest. So Sera Mei is a Tatsang. Sera is a Gomba. And then inside the Tatsang there are administrative units called Kamtsens. And they used to relate to parts of Tibet. So if you come from Amdo and you want to, if you're serious about your study, you come to Lhasa, you enter Sera Monastery, and you enter Amdo Khamsen. You enter that college and they have a bed for you and food for you. And it's like a, what do you call it? District thing or state, what state you're from. You can have a free bed and a free food at the that state college inside of the Tratang, which is part of the Gumba. Okay. Anyway. And there is a thing called a, what's it called? Chayik, say Chayik. Chayik means the constitution of the monastery. And they're quite old. They give the rules for the structure of the monastery and the, you know, the rules for the monastery. And we lost, Sera Mays was lost in 1959, and we found it in Russia. And we restored it and we republished it, and it was kind of cool. Anyway, why did I bring that up? Oh, Dzindra. So, Dzha means monk, okay? Dzindra means a class. So you have to think that these lamas are circling around the central lama in the way that students in the monastery would circle a lama. Normally, a lama will teach on their bed, and the students will sit on the floor, and they don't have room for other furniture. So, and nobody likes chairs that much. Okay. Lamrimpe Yeyun Karundu Shungpawe Lama. On the left and right of the Lamrim Lamas are the Shumpawa Lamas, the Lamas who study the classics, which are Potowa, La Shengu, who is surrounded by nine other Lamas. So this part will help you on the poster. Lamrimpe Yeyun Karundu Chengapar Dunki Korwa Sendap. Then on either side of the left and right of the Lamrimpa Lamas, on the poster, either way, you can visualize seven more lamas down to Chengawa. Okay. Dindawe Gyupa Sumke Dundu, in front of each of the three lineages, is Jay Lama, which is, who's Jay Lama? Yeah, the one from Jay Mansions. Jay Lama Dang. De Ye Yun Du Kadam Sarme Lama Nam Chaudhuti. And on either side of Jetsun Kapa are the lamas in their proper rows of the Nukadampas. So the Nukadampas means from Jetsun Kapa on down to you. You are Nukadampa. Okay. And there's a group, there's a Buddhist group in England who has named their group Nukadampa, which is a nice name. But you should know that it's a wider term. It refers to everyone past, everyone since Jetsun Kapa. That was interesting. Dr. Ching. Dena Sundeb Der Sig Nyung Yang Sik Shi Re Nang Lama Soso Nam Tarki Gangdom Tabu Tsang Yepe. So the wording for asking for help is not a lot of words. There's like three or four lamas crushed in each verse, okay? And they cover all of them. And I'll teach it to you next time. So the wording is brief, abbreviated, but in each verse, Sikshi Rei Nang, Lama Sosan Namtar, Gagdom. You can read the Gangdom. Okay, Gagdom means the guts of their life is crushed into those verses, if you know how to read it, okay? It's kind of cool. There are just tiny verses about the whole tree. Gangdom Tabu. Tsang, this tsang, I told you tsang meant what? Good, you still remember what I said 3 minutes ago. Tsang, but this tsang means complete. So you should know that tsang can mean either thing, okay? Sometimes it means complete. So Tabu Tsang Yupe means, if you know how to read it, the guts of their life story is in those tiny little verses. Sang yupe shena, if you know, derad chende yirangdang. if you know the stories, like when you get to the verse about Master Shantideva, they might say something like, our beloved Busuku. And then Shina means, if you know the story, Deda Chende, you should bring the whole story to mind. You can pause. And then Yirang. Rejoice about it. Be happy about it. You know, oh, that was a cool story. That was wonderful. Now I shouldn't criticize any lazy bones in our group, because you never know. No, the lazy people you know definitely can't be saints. Right? Okay. They're real lazy people. Not like Shantideva. And Lomdukye means, Lomdu means you can feel a desire to emulate those people. Okay? And Sundapi Tsiksit Tamalenyi Jupi Chimala, if you repeat the final verse of the final line of each verse, the fourth line, twice, then on the second repetition, you can try to Namtar Shin Lungdoki Yunden Top Chung Nyambache. You can think that the second time you ask for their help in each verse will have three or four lamas in it. And you can think that because you asked, you just got their, you just got their abilities just poured into you. So probably in Master Shantideva's case, you are able to look totally lazy, but be a genius on the inside. You can imagine that that has, you got that ability, okay? All right. Jigdo Pelden Lama Nambar Tarpa La. At the end, there's a, at the end of the supplication verses in the Georgia, there's a verse which says, Pelden Lama Nambar Tarpa La. I will follow, I will emulate the biography of each of these lamas. I will live the life that they lived, okay? Shloka. Okay, what's a shloka? Yeah, it's a Sanskrit word for a verse. It's misspelled here, but that's okay. Chikjarwa chaknenyan. So there's an oral tradition to add this verse. Dedak sine lanren la shargom loksu michepa sokitse. When you are done with the supplication to the lamas, you can do a shargom on the lamrim. Okay? What are the three types of meditation? General, broad categories of meditation. Yeah, one is shargom, chegom, and jogom. What's a shargom? Shargom is like you review a list, you know, you say, oh, there are seven meditation limbs in the fifth of the six preparations, and you run over them in your mind a couple times. What's that thing they say kids who learn foreign languages get new synapse bridges? And that's what happens when you do shargom. You run over a list of stuff over and over again, and new synapses, new, I don't know, bridges form in your brain, tiny bridges form in your brain, and you start thinking differently. So it's a very useful meditation. It doesn't sound very exciting, but it is. Oh, like these are the five problems of meditation. These are the eight corrections for the five problems, like that. It's a review. You review an idea. You get really good at that in the monastery. Why? No, because you debate and you have to have them on your fingertips, you know, and it changes your mind. You know, if something was taught by Maitreya, then you, all day long you're walking around the monastery and Maitreya is whispering in your mind, you know, and it's like, and you're like, shh, you know, I'm eating, you know, and they're like, it's like, shh. And it's kind of cool, and it changes your personality, and it changes your mind. And it's good to memorize something, okay? Memorize anything. Chaksa Welsen, Chushin, Shapadang, that verse, right? You were going to memorize that for me. Okay, the verse about the seven steps of the preliminaries, that would be a nice verse to memorize, okay? Even one verse in Tibetan is worth it, okay? Shagun Loksu Miche. Loksu means separately. Miche means what? If you don't do a shargom here, okay, after you ask for help, if you're not gonna do a shargom, okay, she'd say, yunin shargyurma tene. Yeah, you can read, You can read Yunden Shugyurma, okay? Which is sometimes spelled Yunden Shugyurma, and that may be more correct, but anyway, we can talk about it. Dun means past tense of to recite. Okay, dun means to recite. Dun is the past tense. One of the five, what are they called? And I think it's in one of the five niyamas in the Yoga Sutra, Svadhyaya, the last one. Right? Svadhyaya. Yeah? So everybody calls it self-study, which is completely wrong, okay? Svadhyaya is a very common Sanskrit word for to memorize scripture and to recite it in your home. And this dun is the Tibetan translation for that, okay? So just if anyone ever tells you that, it's dun, it's weird, okay? Svadhyaya. Dunne, shargom che, you should do a shargom, okay? By doing, by just reciting Yunde Shugyurma, which is a short lamrim, okay? It's called The Source of All My Good. It's a little poem that Jetsun Kapa wrote. I translated a commentary on it. It's in a book called Preparing for Tantra. Because the commentary I translated was taught just before a tantric initiation, okay, by Pabon Kamche, who wrote this book, okay? I did that in a lay room one time, and it was very wonderful. Okay, not far from here. Shargom lokso chepe ni dunmi gupa. If you're gonna do a separate shargom on the steps of the lamrim, for example, you don't have to recite the Yunden Shugyurma, okay? If you're not gonna do a separate meditation on those points, at least recite that lamrim. It's a tiny little lamrim. Migupa, sokshin duwe chok. So if you're going to do a mental review of the lamrim, you don't have to recite it, the other one, the lamrim, but in words. And you can duwa. Chok here at the end means, chok is a very dangerous word, okay, at the end. There's a Tibetan word called choga, which means, do you know? That's chuga, chuga. Yeah, ritual. Choga means ritual. But sometimes it's shortened to chok. Like jang chok is a ritual for sending the spirit on when a person dies. It's called jang chok. And so choga is sometimes shortened to chok. But chok has another meaning, which means allowable, permissible. So here it's the permissible. So, you know, you see funny translations. Normally when I get, somebody hands me a new book or a new translation, I open it up anywhere. And it will say the ritual of you know, withdrawing the tsokshin. And I'll just close it and toss it, you know. It means they didn't get, every sentence there's a word wrong, you know. And I have a special garbage can in my house. And I just toss it, you know. So this one means permissible, right? It's okay. You don't have to recite the whole Yunden Shugyurma. You can just withdraw the lineage lamas, okay? How do you withdraw them? That's the subject of class number 6, which we just reached. We're supposed to be on class number 8 by now or something like that. But that's okay. We'll just do it at our own speed. Deni lama doje changi tukane. Urser chepe, shenam sour chete, melong la heta pashin, oki gelchen, so grimshin, oma goma goma la pendab shiteng du shupe, yidem gipardang. That's one sentence. Deni means that. And when you study Tibetan grammar, which is a whole subject in itself, it's called sumtak. And it refers to two great books of Tibetan grammar from around 800 AD. One is called Sumchupa, the 30 verses. One is called Dakijupa, which means how to affix suffix letters. And they're part of a larger group of grammar and texts which got lost. So there's only two left. So they're called, so all Tibetan grammar is called Sumtak. And when you get into that, it'll say, when you reach a day, when you reach the word day, you better look back and find out what they were talking about. Because to identify that, it has to be done with great care in a scripture, because you might think it refers to the wrong that. So I'm going to tell you what it says after that, and you're going to tell me what that is referring to. That means referring something that we said tonight before. Could be anything. Okay? No, I mean, that's part of translation. You have to go back and find it. What's the that referring to? Okay? Got it? Dorje Changi Tukane, from the holy heart of Vajradhara, the Buddha in his tantric form, Uzertu, light rays fly out. Shenam Samar Chete. Then they suddenly illuminate all the other beings. And this is a beautiful word. Melong, what's melong? Good. What's melong yadapa? A crystal mirror. And it's the monk's word for a bald person. How I know that is a long story. So melong na. Hetap. This is a beautiful word. When you take a mirror and you go, and your breath makes a little cloud on the mirror, and then watch the cloud and it'll just go like this, and then it'll disappear. And that's what we're going to do with the lamas. We're going to, you know, and then they're going to like disappear. Okay? So you're supposed to get that feeling like, what do you call that stuff on the mirror after you go, that the fog on the mirror is going to go, and then that's the feeling you're supposed to have. It's a laya, right? It's a dissolution practice. There are more elaborate ones in Vajragini, right? He tapashin, in the same way as fog on a mirror. Oki gyalchen soki rimshin, you start with the lower rows of the poster, which include the gyalchen rishi, which are the four great kings, who are the guardians of desire realm deities. That's a long story. Rimshi, okma koma koma. Each lower group dissolves into each higher group. So the dissolution is, the lamas are dissolving into each other. The bottom ones dissolve into the next row, that row dissolves in the next higher row, and like that. Okay. Okma okma koma, pema dab shiteng du shupe yidang kipar. You get up to the tantric angels who are on the four petals of the huge lotus. Deshiyang, Tuban Dorje Changi Tukardu. And then those, the holy beings on those four petals dissolve into the Buddha, Vajradhara. Okay? This is all kind of complicated, and don't stress about it. Okay? We'll do it. We'll do it again next time, okay? I have to tell you the whole thing. I have to translate each sentence. But these are kind of technical, and we'll do it again, okay? We'll practice it when we do the Jorcha, when we learn the Jorcha, okay? After, I don't know how many years, 38 years of doing this, I just picture my lama, okay? You know, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, you know. For me, it's a lot easier. And later he's going to say, if it's better for you, just picture your lama. You know, if it means more to you, and if it's more powerful for you to have less people there, then just, they call it, what do they call it? Norbaluk. Yeah, Kundu Norbaluk, the all-encompassing jewel version. So it's enough. There are 64 deities of the Chakrasamara Mandala, and Rinpoche could picture them all. And then I asked him, you know, I get confused. He said, I'll just do your lama. Okay. And I did, and I do. Okay. And I like it, and it makes me happy. Okay. So, Dene Tagyuki Lama Jamyang Ladang. Then all the lamas of the emptiness lineage dissolve into Manjushri. And then Chugyuki Lama Champala. All the compassion then it dissolves into Maitreya. Chinnab Gyupe Lama, okay? This is called the lineage of blessings. The lineage of blessings, but it refers to the tantric lineages, the five tantric lineages in the poster, okay? Chinnab Gyupe Lama, they dissolve into Dorje Chang, Vajradhara. How many groups we got so far? It's on your homework, okay? This is how I get people's attention when they're tired and it's towards the end of the retreat. And they're like, okay, we had emptiness lineage, we had compassion lineage, we had tantric lineages, okay? Then Chundel Ngutoki Lama, okay? Say Chundel. It's a nice word. Adam, can you knock that one out? Yeah, Chundel. Chun means what? Dhamma. What's Del mean? It's the Del and Tendel. It means connected, okay? Relationship, okay? So it's a beautiful word. Chundel means, Chundel Ki Lama means, do you know? Yeah, it means someone that you have studied with is your Chundel Ki Lama, Dharma connection teacher. And it's very funny if there's an eminent Lama at a different monastery, say like at Ganden. I did this. At Ganden has a weird karma that they have more incarnated Lamas than everybody. And there was an incarnated Lama Ro, Tuku Ro, at Ganden Monastery, and there was Lati Rinpoche, and there was Chijan Rinpoche, and there was, what's his name, the old whippersnapper. There was Chijan Rinpoche's disciple, a teacher of Thubten Jinpa. Name, huh? No. He was trained by Chijan Rinpoche's main disciple. I forgot his name. But anyway, and there was Ling Rinpoche. Yeah, and there's like seven great lamas in adjoining houses at Ganden. So when we go there for winter debates, intercollegiate debates, I used to stay at Chijan Rinpoche's house. And Rinpoche set that up, which is very cool. And then I would go meet the other lamas when I had time just to get a chundel. It means you ask them to teach you 5 minutes of scripture and then you have this karmic connection forever, for many lifetimes. You see what I mean? So that's called chundel ki lama. It's very common to go to a high lama and say, just teach me anything for 10 minutes. Because I want a connection between us, a karmic connection between us. And then all my lifetimes I'll meet you, you know, like that. So that's called Chundel Ki Lama. So anyone who has taught you is Chundel Ki Lama. Tsawe Lama, they meld into, Ngutop means you got direct teachings from them, okay? Chundel Ngutop Lama. And they meld into Tsawe Lama, your root Lama. How many groups we got? Groups or individuals? Well, these are two, you see. All the teachers you've ever studied with, followed by your heart lama, which is different, right? So now you have five different groups or persons, right? Tsawe lama, shengjel ki tu ki namba chen means in the form that they took when you are with them. So it's not some idealized form, you know. All the quirks of their behavior and all the unusual things about their appearance. They look like as they normally look. Okay, you don't have to try to, what do you call it? Airbrush them. Okay, jiao du ki namba chen la du xing. You melt them into each other one by one, and then you step back and think about all five groups, right? Emptiness lamas, compassion lamas, tantra lamas, all the teachers I've ever had, including grade school and college and business, career, and then your root lama. And you step back and you look at who's left. It's just your root lama, okay? You step back and look at your root lama, but you think there were five there. You look at, you think, you focus on all five, and you say, Sangye Changsen Ngusu Jalwe Gyalwa Chen De Nga O De Nga O Atma Kohang. Where's that from? Yeah, that's from Tantra. It's very, very high Tantra. I am emptiness. I am this bliss. I am. Okay? That's a very famous part of Tantra. You say, I am emptiness. I'm the universe. I'm every angel there ever was. You know, and then you, poof. You know, it's like that. It's called Atmakohang. So it's really unusual that in a Lam Rim, Pabongka Rinpoche has inserted the same wording. It's very unusual. It's one of the things that makes this such a powerful Lam Rim. Is there Tantra in the Lam Rim? Yeah, at the very end, like one sentence. Like, I hope you get to study Tantra after that. I'm not kidding, okay. But he's sprinkling in stuff to plant seeds in people's minds. So he's like, you should step back and say, that's me. Which is a very high practice in Tantra. De ngawo, se te, ngawo. That's me. Okay? All right. And in Tantra, it's a very high practice. What's me? Sangye Chansangusu Jawe Kawachen. A guy who has, or girl, who has enough good karma to meet Buddhas and Bodhisattvas directly. A guy or girl who had the karma, who had enough good karma to meet Buddhas and Bodhisattvas directly. Who are you focusing on? The five groups. Okay, the five groups. The only one left is your lama, right? But you're thinking, wow, I just met all those Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. I had the karma to be in the direct presence of those Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Now, who has that kind of karma? You know, ngawo, atmako, huh? Atma means, atmaka means, like, in the Tantra it means a combination. But it, hung means, hung is the required abbreviation by Sandhi, in Sanskrit euphonics, of I am. Aham, right? I am. I am that. Okay. I am what? Yeah, I'm a person who had the karma to meet them directly. Did you really meet them directly? Yeah, you did. If in your heart, with devotion, you ask Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to come, they come. You can't see. I mean, you heard the dog story from two different people, right? Did they tell you about him spitting on Maitreya? Huh? You didn't get to that? A sangha is really frustrating, you know. The dog turns into Maitreya and does he say, oh, I'm glad to meet you or I love you? Or he says, why didn't you show up in the cave for 12 years, you know? And Maitreya's like, I was there, idiot. You know, and he's like, but I didn't see you. And he says, oh, you're kidding. I'll tell you something. Do you always spit to your left side when you have boogers? Do you always spit them out to the left? He says, yeah. And he says, well, I learned to dodge them, you know. And I was there all along, you know. Because the minute you ask me to come, I'm there. And if you can't see me, that's your problem, you know. I was there for 12 years. I was dodging for 12 years, you know. Okay. All right. So you can think about those five groups and say, wow, I had enough karma to meet them. If you have enough karma to ask them to come, you have the karma to meet them. Because that's the same thing. Okay, got it? All right. Then he says a very strange thing. Those of you who know Tantra, who were one of the few people on this planet to go through a whole Tantra course for 7 years at Diamond Mountain for free, 10,000 pages of translation. What's Selnung? Huh? It's half of a group. It's half of two things. What's the other half? Huh? What's Selnung? Yeah. Yeah, how you see yourself. What's the other half? As opposed to Nagyo. Oh, thank you. God bless. It wasn't wasted time. Okay, say salmon. Nagya. Salmon. Don't say nagya, it's like nagya. Hold your tongue. Nga, nga, nga. It's down here. Nga, nga, nga. Nagya. The tongue doesn't hit the palate. The tongue doesn't go na, 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 na. Okay. Ngagyal means I'm king, right? And in sutra, in the open teachings, it's a mental affliction. It's pride. I am king. There are 9 forms of it. But in tantra, it has a totally different meaning. And it means to identify yourself with the deity. I am divine. Ngagyal. I am a tantric deity, you know. It's not like I'm trying to get there. I am. So there are times in the practice of tantra when you're supposed to just decide, I'm not on the path anymore. I already reached the goal. I am Buddha, you know. Don't mess with me. I'm Buddha. It's just a practice to get the seed in your mind. You pretend, you say, I am. I already am. Like Muhammad Ali, you're too young. He was so cool. He's like, they're like, so who's going to win the fight, you know, against Sonny Liston? He says, I'm the greatest, you know. I am the greatest, you know. What's it? Sting like a bee. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. He knocks him out in the first round. Then he's standing over him, screaming for him to get up and just try to hit him, you know. And anyway. The first time I ever met Rinpoche in my life, I came into his kitchen. I was late because I had to hitchhike to his temple. And it was in the middle of a snowstorm. And I was late. And he looks at me. And I'm like, oh, Lama, you know. And this is the Lama that the Dalai Lama told me to go study with. And I'm like, oh, Lama. And he says, I got to ask you a question. And I said, what? And he says, did you see Muhammad Ali fight last night? And I'm like, what? That's another story. But Muhammad Ali had Ngagyal. Ngagyal means I am. I am the greatest, frankly. You know, Ngagyal. That's Ngagyal. Then Selnang is what? Yeah, Selnang means you look down and you see a deity's arm. You don't see skin anymore. You see light. You work so hard on it. You pretend you're made of light already. You're like, that's cool. You know? Okay? That's Selnang. And so what he says here is Selnang Tun. That's the same Tun as to recite, but it's a different meaning. See, reciting means to squeeze it out, right? Dun, Svadhyaya. But here it means elicit Selnang. Okay? Selnang. What's Selnang again? Yeah, you look down and you see a deity. You just look down and you see a deity. You don't really see skin and bones anymore, okay? What's Ngagyal? What's the other half? That's me. That's me. You look down and you say, oh, look, a deity. That's me. Now, here he said, think to yourself, I'm a person who has the karma. If you want to meet someone who has the... You can just brag to your friends, you know? Did you want to meet someone who has actually met Buddhas directly? Yeah. Well, that's me. Now I ask you a question. Is that Ngagyal or Selnang? It's Ngagyal. When you say, that's me, you go up to your friends, you know. You say, did you ever meet anybody who met a Buddha? And they say, no. Did you meet anybody who knows all the Bodhisattvas? They say, no. You say, well, you're looking at them. Okay. That's Ngagyal, right? It's me. Even the word is usually, that's me. He says, Ngao, that's me. You're looking at him. Ngao means you're looking at him, right? So why didn't he call it Ngagyal here? Why did he call it Selnang? I don't know. I think it was because we're supposed to question. We're supposed to wonder. You work on it, okay? Rinpoche used to say that sometimes. You work on it. Let me know what you figure out. Maybe it's so we would discuss both of them. Okay? Anyway, think about it. He sprinkled a little very beautiful tantra in here. So I think you get the feeling of Tantra as something very beautiful and moving and dear and cherished. And then I don't know why, I guess it's because it's so beautiful that it has a bad rap in the West, and it has this rap of dirty things or cult things or sexual things and killing chickens and things like that. And it's completely the opposite. It's like, I'm Jesus, and I'm wearing Jesus' robes, and it's to get you to act like Jesus. It's a trick to get you to act like Jesus. So, you know, you meditate in the morning, I'm Jesus, you know, look at my robes, and, you know, I am Jesus. And then you're not, if somebody gets mad at you, you're not going to like scream at them. You would let them crucify you and smile, you know what I mean, and wish them well. And so Jesus doesn't get into fights with their friends. That's the idea of Tantra. Tantra means you practice being a holy being. And then when you get in a normal situation and someone's hassling you, you're embarrassed to respond like the way you used to be. You see what I mean? And it's nothing sexual or dirty or cultish or all that. And I don't know why there's a karma for it to attract that kind of criticism. But it has that karma. Maybe just because it's so beautiful and holy that it attracts the opposite, you know? Anyway, yeah. My question to you is, he says, as you dissolve, as the fog dissolves, and all these beautiful lineage lamas dissolve, right? Like, I don't know, count them up sometime. I don't know, it must be 150, something like that. He'll tell you. All these holy beings, they dissolve into each other, and then down to your root lama, right? And then you're supposed to watch that dissolution happen, and you're supposed to say, God damn, I'm a pretty cool person. I just met all the Buddhists and Bodhisattvas directly. I mean, I have enough good karma to meet them, you know? And he says, elicit that kind of... He doesn't say Nagyo, he says Selma. Elicit that kind of physical appearance about yourself, rather than saying, elicit that kind of self-confidence. I guess, yeah. Maybe you could talk about it in your review groups and come up with different ideas, okay? He should have said Nagyo, because it says, you're looking at him. It's like Muhammad Ali. It's like, you want to know the guy that could beat up anybody in the world in 10 seconds, floor him. I mean, you know. That's Nagyo, okay? That's like self-confidence, right? Okay? All right, you work on it. It's wonderful that he mentioned it, because it gives us an excuse to talk about it without me having to do a 7-day initiation. Saves me a lot of time. Okay. Where are we? Dene, right? We have about 5 more minutes. Okay, then we'll stop. Dene cham jamyangni udushune tsowar latim. Then Maitreya and Manjushri melt into light and dissolve into the central figure. So, you know Lam Tsong Nam Thum, right? I hope. 3 principal paths. So Tso means principal path here in that title. But in a tantric visualization, Tso always refers to the central figure. Who's the central figure? Is Jetsun Kamba, okay? So they melt into Jetsun Kamba. Dorje Chang Yeshe Senbei Tsu Du Tim. Vajradhara melts into the central figure in the manner of a wisdom warrior, okay? And what that means is he's still visible within Jetsun Kamba's heart, a little tiny one. A little tiny Vajradhara is always staying there, okay? And there's as I mentioned, I think, previously, there's a practice where you do 16 deep, tiny little lamas in tiny, like those Russian Fabergé eggs or whatever. Is it? Yeah. Dolls. Yeah. What are they called? Petrushka? Babushka? Matryoshka. Gotcha. Okay. Да, все. Матрешка. Я понимаю, не надо беспокоиться. Укицай лама. Шаджа дукиношени. Then Укицай лама. This central root, your heart lama, Shel Gel Tuki Namba Chen, who is in the physical appearance that you usually see them in the real world. Namba Chen De Ushu Chena, if you melt them into light, Dendelki Nela N, say Nela N. Ne means what? Yeah, you've been waiting for that one. Say Marmahata. Marmahata. It's a very important tantric term, yoga term, inner body term. So marma is related to mur, which means to kill. And marma means a point on the body where you can kill someone with like that, you know. If you know, if you're a super kung fu guy, you can just look at the opponent's like, whoosh, and you go, tuck, and he dies, you know. Like, you know, right? Minimum effort, maximum damage. You know, you go, tuck, and he's like, conks out, you know. So that's called a marma. Hata means to strike. The root is han. You find it in a hinsa. Okay, and it comes into English. Han comes into English as gun. Okay, so marmahata means to strike the crucial point. Here he says you would hurt the marma. You would hurt the no means to hurt, right? What? Dendel. What's dendel? Yeah, that's how everybody translates this. In 0.1% of the time, it means. It means the mystical powers which will create something beautiful in the future. It's a very difficult word to translate. The mystical power which will create something of exquisite beauty in the future is called Dendo. And for example, when you first meet your lama, the other day we found I was walking with someone, I forget who it was, we found an old nail on the ground. Like from the 1800s or something. Like this is a handmade nail. We found it on the ground. And that's a tendo. It means like a mystic thing. Because anything with a sharp point on it, to find something with of iron with a sharp point on it, is considered very auspicious for your wisdom. For the future of your understanding of emptiness. It's considered very auspicious. So that's a tendo. That's like, wow. Then now something wonderful is going to happen. That's called tendo. So 99.9% of the time, tendo means dependent origination. But 0.1% of the time, it means something totally, totally different. And to translate as dependent origination here would be a grave mistake. And it happens. I've seen it happen. So ne la ne means what? You would hurt the ne of the tendo. What's that mean? Worse than that. You destroy this magic. You would destroy this magic to happen. You would destroy the magic to happen if you did what? If you melt your own lama into light, your heart lama. Okay? So when you can melt everybody else into your heart lama, but then stop. Okay? We don't want to melt. That's a boo-boo. That's going to screw up all this magic that's about to happen. Okay? Got it? Tendo means magic that's about to happen. Okay? From, like, finding that nail outside. Okay? Therefore, Tsawe Lama Shel Shuk Ma Shuk Kangtar. Tsawe Lama means your root lama, heart lama. Shel Shuk means their holy face is still shining in this world or not, Mashuk means. And that's a polite way of saying whether they're still alive or not. So sometimes a person's root lama will pass away, right? Shem Mashuk, but not mine, never. Kangdar, doesn't matter whether they're still alive or not. Yang, Ushumi Chepar, never dissolve them into light, okay? Marndok, my dog, this is a funny expression. Dog means a chunk of something or a hunk of something. What's mar? Butter, okay? Mar dog means a chunk of butter, which in Tibet was a very common, valuable thing. La nendu, nendu means one grain of barley. And we're going to do a fire offering, old-time fire offering, 5,000-year-old custom. And we're going to do it by the book. And you can't get that anywhere, trust me. You know, we're going to do it exactly as it's been done for 5,000 years. And it hasn't changed. And there will be lots of dew. Dew means grains. So imagine one grain of barley and you jam it into a come on back. You don't have this karma. So you should jam your heart lama into the heart of Vajradhara, who is in the heart of Jatakaba. Okay, got it? You jam him like a little tiny guy. You say, get in there. You know, you stay in there. You stick around. I'm going to protect you in the heart of the Buddha who teaches Tantra, in the heart of the founder of the Dalai Lama's lineage. We're keeping you in there. You just stay there. We're not melting you. Okay? It's like this tiny little precious thing. You say, I'm hiding you in there. Okay? Got it? So this is just a chung, changla tim means dissolve him into the Vajradhara's heart. So that Vajradhara is like this big. And then you're sticking your heart lama in his heart. Okay. And in practice, when you're visualizing your lama, like we do this golden room meditation, right? Then you can imagine that. Never just stand up and walk out on your lama. You know, like you're meditating on your lama and you finally get impatient and you want to go do your Facebook and you just stand up and walk out of the room. It's really bad luck, okay? Like, then your lama's just stuck there all day. You ask them to come. You ask them to sit in front of you while you're meditating. You decided you had to do Facebook instead of finishing your meditation. And they just got to hang out there all day and wait for you to come back the next morning, hopefully, or next week. And then, so in our lineage, in our tradition, it's considered really bad manners to, what do you call it? Stand up your lama. So you say, please, will you stay with me all day? Even if you're in a big rush to get out, you know, like the phone call came from your boss and he said, come to work early. You go back, you sit down, you close up everything nicely. Please stay in my heart all day. Okay. They always say okay. And they rise up in the air. And as they rise, they get smaller. So they're rising up and they're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. They get about this big. And then they come to the top of your head. And on the way, they switch to your same orientation. They are facing the same way as you now. They come up. And you should feel some kind of warm thing on the top of your head. Okay? Like someone put their... In the scripture, it says someone was warming their hands on a fire and then put their hand on your head. And you feel this, what do you call that? Warm, spreading warmth here. Because they're there, they're sitting there. And then they get smaller, like this big, and they start to sink into your central channel. And they come down your central channel. And they park in your heart all day, okay? Make them, don't put them on the surface of your skin. Those people make this mistake. They say put them in your heart and they put them here like a, what do you call those things that kids make on books? And stick. They're not a sticker, okay? And a chakra is not a sticker. It's back. It's way in the back. It's behind the heart. If you meditate on it, on the skin or just under the skin, you'll get lung. So make it back further and deep in your heart, your lama. And then say, please stay here all day with me. You know. And then it's really nice because you can imagine them in a little sphere, like a bathysphere, right? Like in a little ball, back in the back of your heart. And then when you have trouble during the day, it's very useful to have them there. Okay? You can take refuge in them. You can say, you know, some your boss starts screaming at you, or your girlfriend tells you she's thinking she needs some, what do you call it? Space. I need some space. And then you're like, oh God. You know, and, you know, and, no, something really bad happens. Or, you know, you bang your car or something. And, or you're really sad. Then you can just hide. I used to have a basset hound. His name was George. I had three brothers. There were four brothers and no sisters. And, you know, we were wild. And, but we had a dog, a fifth brother. And he was given to us when we were little kids. And he survived until we left home. Like, he lived until I went to college. And anytime you had a problem with the family, you could go hang out with George, you know. And you could put your head down on his tummy, and you could talk to him, and he'd be, you know. And he had these big long ears, like basset hound, and these droopy eyes, you know. And he'd go, you know. And then you'd hang out with him for half an hour, and you'd feel all right. So this is your George, okay? That lama in your heart. Then whenever you have a problem, you can just kind of sit down and be quiet and talk to them in your mind and say, you know, this thing just happened to me. I got in a car wreck, or my girlfriend said that, or my boss was going to fire me. What do you think? And they're going to go, and they're you know. And it's a great resource, I'm telling you. Okay, it's a wonderful resource to have. So you don't want to just dump them when you get up to leave your meditation cushion. Like, put them there so they'll be there when you need them during the day. Got it? That's all I'm saying. It's very nice to have them in your heart. If you haven't met your root lama yet, then imagine who they, what they might look like. Okay? Like, get a picture of what you would like. And then you can have a fantasy one there. And fantasy in Buddhism is wonderful, because fantasy plants seeds for that thing. So, the first level of Tantra, the nickname for it is what? Do you know? Dakpen Nyanjor? The yoga of make-believe. The yoga of fantasy. So fantasize about who you want your heart lama to be. If you don't have a heart lama, fantasize about what they're going to be like. And you can keep them in your heart. And that's not a problem. Okay? All right, that's a nice, auspicious place to stop, I think. Okay. We're going to start on sanctity, okay, Adam, next time. Jigme. I just want to see if you're awake. No, just kidding. She is. Pukki Drishi Metotam Rira Mingshi Ninde Gepadi Sangye Shindu Mekte Uwagi Dokunamda Shingna Chepasho Yena Guru Ram Andana Kamne Yatayami Dike Wokun Sanam Yishi Tsotso Shin Sanam Yishi Lechumi Dambakuni Topashon.